You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Alfred Lambremont Weber back to the show. Alfred's first book, Exopolitics, is the evolution of Alfred Lambremont Weber's groundbreaking work as a futurist at the Stanford Research Institute, where in 1977 he directed a proposed extraterrestrial communication study project for the Carter White House. Exopolitics may turn the dominant view of our universe upside down. It reveals that we live on an isolated planet in the midst of a populated, evolving, and highly organized interplanetary, intergalactic, and multidimensional universal society. His new book, just released, is called The Omniverse: Transdimensional Intelligence, Time Travel, The Afterlife, The Interlife, and The Secret Colony on Mars. Alfred is also the chairman of the Mars Anomaly Research Society at www.projectmars.com. A graduate of Yale University Law School and a Fulbright Scholar, he has taught economics at Yale and constitutional law at the University of Texas. His video interviews and blogs go where very few dare tread, and you can find them at exopolitics.blogs.com/exopolitics. This is all in the bio, so it's all permanently saved, and at newsinsideout.com. So let's welcome him back to the show now. Hi, Alfred. How are you?
I'm very, very happy to be here and looking forward to our program.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I just wanted to say that I absolutely love your book. It's an incredible read. And you pull from many of the sources, the same sources that I find to be the most credible, G.I. Gurdjieff, Barbara Hand Clow, Michael Newton, and many others that we know of that are on the cutting edge and that kind of ahead of the pack. What are some of the most important concepts or ideas that you'd like the public to become aware of through this book?
Well, I think that the most fundamental kind of breakthrough that the book has, if I can use that word in this time where everything is a breakthrough,
right,
of sorts, it is I would sum it up in three words. And those three words, those three little words are universe, multiverse, and omniverse. Mm. And that's what this book is really about, how the universe functions, how the multiverse functions, and how the omniverse functions, and what the difference is between all three, and why this makes a difference. And that really, in essence, summarizes the whole book. If we go back in ordinary conventional history, say 3500 BC or so, it was the Sumerian astronomers and cosmologists that codified the concept of our, quote, universe in science as a discrete, organic, holographic creation of time, energy, space, and matter. And so that was when the universe kind of came onto our stage in science. Mm-hmm. And if we fast forward up to 1895, it was the American novelist, psychologist, and philosopher William James who coined the term multiverse. And what that means is the totality of all universes. And since that time, that's the area that mainstream science has really been working in. And the and that's the area that mainstream science has been stuck in, and that they have not been able to bring God, the afterlife, souls, spiritual beings, or any of that into the multiverse. And what's interesting is that if you go back in history, it was in the Sumerian times that the manipulatory occupying ETs, the Anunnaki and others, took the afterlife, the intelligent civilization of souls, God, etc., took that out of science, out of reality, and put it into religion, and introduced religion as a way to control humanity. And so now, if we go back to the multiverse, just to give people an idea of how vast the number of universes is, we have two Stanford scientists who have developed an actual number of the physical universes of time, space, energy, and matter. And that number is so large that if we wrote it out in 12-point type, it would be more than 260 million miles long. That's how large the number is of the number of universes in the multiverse. So, you know, people will say, oh, we're the only populated planet.
Right.
It's totally absurd.
Well, and that is a part of the game playing that is going on between the those who control the Earth, on and off world, and keeping all of the multidimensional and omniversal contacts secret.
Right. And so, however, this is kind of like the omniverse has kind of multiple moving parts, okay?
Okay.
And what the omniverse is, there's actually the omniverse equation, which is very simple, and which is as follows. The omniverse equals the multiverse, that is, all of the universes, plus the spiritual dimensions, namely the souls, the intelligent civilization of souls in the interlife or the afterlife dimensions, plus the spiritual beings, plus source or God. So that's the omniverse equation. Comma, and what the omniverse is as follows. The spiritual dimensions as a whole together, and this is our finding in this book. The spiritual dimensions as a collective act as what is traditionally known as God or Source. And they create this enormous theme park. I like to call it a theme park that we can call the multiverse, which is a theme park filled with universes and galaxies and planets and exophenotypes and all kinds of drama, right?
Right.
Of incarnational drama. So that the basic design of the omniverse is as follows, is a spiritual dimension which includes a collective of souls and spiritual beings and a source which designs and maintains a venue, which we can call the multiverse or all the universes, wherein the intelligent community of souls can incarnate in a variety of what we would call bio avatars of exophenotypes. Mm-hmm. You can incarnate as a human, a humanoid, a feline, an advanced bird, a gray, all sorts of different types, and have an adventure. My most excellent adventure incarnated in the bio avatar of Alfred or of X, Y, and Z on a certain planet in a certain universe. And that is like the mission of the universes. And between incarnations, souls are either in the interlife, but they're also deployed in on missions which have to do with tweaking various types of creation, helping to bring universes into being, helping to maintain galaxies or planets, or you know, tweaking time in a particular time-space hologram. Mm-hmm. So it's the Omniverse itself is a very dynamic entity, and it's an entity that is ultimately knowable by science. And so what we're doing now in the science of the Omniverse is removing all of the mystery and a fuzziness that was placed there in the 200,000 to 300,000 years of quarantine where manipulatory ETs together, you know, the aftermath of this very negative event that we had this in this quadrant of the universe that we call the Lucifer Rebellion, mm-hmm. is now coming to an end. And so we're on a planet, namely planet Earth, that has been under quarantine for the last 200,000 to 300,000 years. And that's why we have a culture that is a culture of quarantine. It's a quarantine that's imposed primarily by universe governance, that's also imposed by the various manipulatory ETs and by some of the conflict that's still going on this planet. But I see the book, The Omniverse, and the emergence of the science of the Omniverse very much part of the falling away of the universe quarantine, and very much of the return of science and the integration of science and spirituality here on Earth.
Well, it does seem that for those hundreds of thousands of years that we have been manipulated into a false light paradigm, which includes humans being used as food, basically, being abducted by military operations that appear to be grays, and the reincarnation process has apparently been skewed because people are not able to leave and ascend after they've had an experience here. They seem to keep recycling, which is possibly one of the reasons why so many people feel like they've been here way too long, and yet we're being used for our energy, similar to the Matrix trilogy.
Right, right. And so now, what it is that now we have databases that allow us to use. We can now map the omniverse and prove its existence by the law of evidence, because we now have replicable empirical evidence for all of the assertions that we're making about about the omniverse, and replicable scientific empirical evidence for the spiritual dimensions that is gathered by the same rules of evidence and by the scientific method as we've been using for the universes, for the universes of time, space, energy, and matter. And so we're finally beginning to break through a lot of the manipulation that has been taking place.
Right. And one of the things that I think originally startled me decades ago was when I started to find out about the breakaway civilizations and how technology is being held in private hands and is about 100 years at least far more advanced than anything that we're allowed to know about. And it's held in the hands of the highest corporate CEOs and several of the cabals that run the world, the shadow government. So one of the things that most people don't know yet is that there is a base on Mars. There has been for quite a while, maybe hundreds or thousands of years. And you can explain about this one because you know a lot about it. And I've interviewed Andrew Bajago a couple of times on the show about that. And there's also a base on the moon, which is apparently mining. And it's a corporate venture. And we have no clue because we're kept in the dark about these things.
Right, right. Yes, yes. For example, I'm trying to think where to go back, you know, where to go back and kind of unreal the movie here.
Right.
And
gotcha.
Where to start this thing. And so because what I like to do is to roll out some theories which I think will be maybe very maybe people haven't heard these before.
Mm-hmm, right.
Let me see if I can begin to find them. It's just going to take me a little time to really find this thing here.
Take your time.
Yeah.
It's you know, that's one of the things that I like about being on live radio is that, you know, people understand that we're human beings and sometimes we lose our place. Sometimes I forget what I'm going to say.
No.
Sometimes you have to look for I'm scrolling through papers as we speak, trying to segue smoothly into the next question.
Right. It's a long research
explanation
that I that I just finished compiling here, and so I just want to. Okay, here we go. Where is it? Okay, let me just go and find this, because this is a there's a whole background here. I think that is, people are not that familiar with, which I think is okay. Let me go see. Okay.
Well, don't forget, the listeners to these shows are pretty aware of just about everything that we've talked about so far, and they're very awake and aware about
Okay, good. So if we go look at I think that what's coming to light now is the secret space program, because one has to make a distinction between the secret space program and ET disclosure. Those are two different type of things, and here is let me see if I can. Okay, so well, let me get to your Mars question, just to answer that very, very quickly.
Sure.
The answer is that yes, there are bases on Mars, and this is a highly populated and highly organized universe, galaxy, and solar system, and ours is a very impacted solar system, and I believe that and so let me, what I'd like to do is to answer your question in light of what I call the secret space program versus the public ET UFO disclosure meme. Okay, and so in first approaching this question, we must first make an important distinction between one, U.S. policies and programs in the secret space program, that is the ongoing joint human ET exploration and colonization of the solar system, particularly on Mars and beyond, as well as the Draco Gray occupation on Earth. In other words, if we look at our planet now, because of what occurred over the last 200 to 300 thousand years, the matrix that controls this planet, including the powers that be that control the U.S., are in the hands of manipulatory ETs.
Right.
And these are primarily Draco and Greys that have treaties going back to the early 1930s. And the Draco and Greys are also entrained with a sentient invading AI, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Which is also invading the planet.
Yep.
So we have to look at all of these different strains, and they're all different strains and lines of analysis that are coming in. And so we have to analyze and keep each of these intertwined strains and be aware of them all, because they all bear upon what our present reality is. And
yeah.
So we have to make an important distinction between, number one, the policies and programs in the secret space program,
right,
which is colonizing the solar system, particularly on Mars, and which is often in coordination with the Draco and Gray occupation of Earth, and two, a public, quote, ET UFO, end of quote, disclosure meme that presidential candidates and presidents since Jimmy Carter in 1976 have spoken about making the secret UFO files public without any systematic reference to the secret space program. In other words, I was director of the Jimmy Carter White House extraterrestrial communication program in 1977 that was approved at the Carter White House staff level. Okay, so that was the first civilian-led extraterrestrial disclosure program in history. Now, the public ET UFO disclosure meme. In my opinion, John Podesta's role in the Bill Clinton and Barack Obama administrations, and Hillary Clinton 2016 presidential campaign, has been to serve as the official gatekeeper for the, quote, public ET UFO disclosure meme. John Podesta, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton have not been given the authority and will not disclose any information from the U.S. secret space program, such as the U.S. secret bases on Mars and interaction with life on Mars and any other part of the solar system and outside of the solar system. And there are deep structural reasons for the above conclusions, which I can summarize. The secret space program has been facilitated by a series of technologies such as time travel, teleportation, anti-gravity, and free energy that would have great public benefit if released to the planet. These technologies have been kept secret in order to exploit celestial bodies such as Mars from a resource perspective for private capital interests, such as those of the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, on whose industrial campuses many of the time travel experiments were carried out, for example. Okay?
Yes, yes.
And U.S. Presidents George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama were all pre-identified by secret U.S. time travel and groomed to serve as stewards of the secret space program and the national security state, whose functional owners are the mega capitalists like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds that beneficially own the Federal Reserve Bank and which is the U.S. Central Bank. Now, in 1966, future Arkansas Governor Winthrop Rockefeller, he was governor from 1967 to 71, and sponsor of Bill Clinton as a time travel pre-identified president and also a future Arkansas governor, Winthrop Rockefeller paid a visit to Yale Law School, purportedly to meet students, even though he had been expelled from Yale before graduating. I was one of the seven students or so that met with Rockefeller in the Yale Law School faculty lounge in 1966. In my opinion, Winthrop Rockefeller was at Yale Law School in 1966, one, as a time travel stalking horse for a fellow future Arkansas Governor and U.S. President Bill Clinton, and First Lady and U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who would be attending Yale Law School as students in the early 1970s. And two, in order to perform time travel surveillance on this reporter, Alfred Lamont Weber, whose 2005 book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, Law, and the Universe, was in the possession of the secret CIA time travel program, Project Pegasus, in 1966. Mm-hmm. U.S. chrononaut Andrew DiBisciaggio had publicly affirmed that he saw a physical copy of my book, Exopolitics, 5 years later in 1971. The functional purpose of separating a secret space program run by intelligence agencies and a breakaway civilization, in other words, I was coming face to face with Winthrop Rockefeller, one of the Rockefeller brothers, one of the running families that are running the breakaway civilization, because he was there stalking me as a guy where they already had my books that were exposing all of this at this time. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And I'm talking about this for one of the first times on the air right now. That is permanently kept from any constitutional government or public scrutiny from the public UFO disclosure meme. Mm-hmm. This way, the, quote, public ET UFO disclosure meme can be raised as a public distraction meme during presidential elections and in public opinion polls during a presidency. Mm-hmm. Rockefeller interests, which control both the secret space program through their control of executives in the secret time travel programs and the Mars Colony Corporation, like Richard B. Cheney, who, by the way, flunked out of Yale as a sophomore when I was here as a freshman, and the public ET UFO disclosure meme through their control of pre-identified presidents, mm-hmm. like Jimmy Carter, to whom they lent a camp plane, and the Trilateral Commission apparatus, mm-hmm. George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, whom they appointed to the public ET UFO disclosure meme Rockefeller Initiative in the late 1990s, actually 1993 to 1996, when Bill Clinton was president. In other words, what you see here is that all the presidents are front people.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton, these are all front people.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who are running the show are the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. But they are like black magicians. So they get briefed on all this stuff. And then they show up and they do time travel surveillance, which is kind of like this contact black magic with all of the play actors that are in a particular time stream. In other words, the play actors in this particular time stream are Alfred Weber, Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, right?
Right.
So then you've got to have a Rockefeller show up in all of their lives doing this kind of time travel surveillance, because each of those people, from Weber through all of the presidents, my role is to, like, expose all of this stuff, and their role is to act it out. But what they act out for the public is just the public ET UFO disclosure meme. Mm-hmm. Their role is to get on Johnny Carson or, the Late Night Show and talk about, oh, remember when I was in Area 51 and they have UFOs and all the balloons. It's just titillation stuff.
Right, right.
Because the secret space program, which is going on 24/7, and is really contracts with the manipulatory ETs under treaty assignments. It's setting up Mars as an owned industrial base. It's no longer a sovereign celestial body under galactic law. It's now an owned and exploited industrial base that's part of the Mars Colony Corporation that is being mined
right
by the Rockefeller Rothschild interests.
Right. And
so
Dick Cheney, the head of the corporation.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the analysis that I'm now bringing out in all of this as an exopolitician. And I'm going back to my initial interaction with Winthrop Rockefeller at Yale Law School in 1966.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that, you know, all of these people, including myself, are just fronts for the Rothschild Rockefellers. We're not fronts, but they are trying to foist off on us and the alternative media and point us at the UFO ET disclosure. Now, so that's the analysis that I'm bringing to it. Now, I'll get into a lot of blowback. It's for the reasons that I did this blowback that I've been cut out of a lot of the activities of the so-called ET UFO disclosure movement, like the recent congressional disclosure hearings with Steve Bassett, even though I co-founded it with him, because what he's doing is just acting out the Rockefeller's agenda
right.
without saying, I'm just acting out the Rockefeller's agenda.
Right.
Because we had a public break, and I said, you can't do that, Steve. What you're doing is you're covering up the Mars colonies, which are the secret space program of this. And what you're doing here is you're supporting the Rockefeller Initiative, and they're promoting Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton as this eye candy public hypnotic meme on ETs and UFOs being disclosure. And so that's the fundamental that is the fundamental gap or cleavage or civil war that you have in the disclosure movement, the exopolitical movement, is between the wing of people like Andy Bashago and myself, and people like Stephen Bassett and others who try to exclude us from this, because we're bringing up the whole story, because the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds have been running numbers on us going back to 1966, you know, while Steve Bassett, you know, was probably in diapers. You know, rather than giving pat answers tonight, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this and to really show people what's going on here and what the division is, and that they've had a series of black magicians, of really dark souls, who've come in and incarnated as Matrix controllers,
yep,
as the Rothschilds, as the Rockefellers, as the Skull and Bones, as all of these people.
Yep.
I happen to have incarnated in a
Vatican.
Family. Yeah, as
the Vatican was funding a Project Pegasus.
Yeah. And, well, the thing is that the Vatican really had all of this information. It wasn't so much that the Vatican was fronting Project Pegasus, is that this information, this technology, this time travel technology was developed by the Vatican. And was developed by scientists, and they've had it for generations.
Right.
And then they gifted it to the CIA.
Oh, what a great place to give it.
Yeah, because they kind of wanted them to be there.
Well, and then most of the CIA is infiltrated by the Mossad and the Khazarians and the
Fourth
Reich.
Yeah, this stuff goes back. Believe me, listen, my uncle was the deputy black pope. He was the deputy head of the Jesuits. So I grew up inside of that family stuff.
Wow.
And so I've had the Rockefellers looking down my throat, the Rothschilds, the Jesuits, the whole bit. And I understand this stuff, and my mission as an incarnate who chose, you know, that kind of thing was to really begin to very carefully understand what these different roles are, mm-hmm. and to come out and to begin to explain to people what's going on here, mm-hmm. and to begin to make distinctions. So it's clear that American journalism hasn't been, you know, that all of America has been sold a bill of goods, but they've been sold a bill of goods that goes back to 1776, mm-hmm. when Skull and Bones at mm-hmm. my alma mater, Yale, was founded as the second chapter of the Illuminati, mm-hmm. which is founded in 1775 by Adam Weishaupt in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. So that act in 1776 at Yale with Skull and Bones was to ensure that the American experiment was perverted into perverted to the uses of the Saturn moon matrix and of the negative manipulatory ETs agenda.
Depopulation and transhumanism and...
Yeah,
and terraforming
yeah.
the Earth for an acid environment.
Yeah. And so what Andy Bishago and I found, and these were some very bitter years for me between 2005 and 2010, because what happened is that I came out with ExoPolitics in 2005, and everybody applauded that. But then when I began to reveal the secret space program by bringing the Mars, first of all, the secret time travel program, and secondly, the secret Mars basis, i.e. the secret space program, public, then all of the fellow travelers and all of the kind of overt agents within the ET UFO community turned on me, because you're not supposed to disclose all of that. You're just supposed to talk about the, quote, ET UFO disclosure meme, which is about civilizations that are far, far away, and it's all baloney. It's all this baloney out there.
What's
really happening here in the solar system, which I can testify to, because I go back to 1966 You know, I've had direct relations with most of the presidents, including being a, having publicized the time travel pre-identification, most of the presidents, having publicized and brought, made public the Mars program, and having made public Barack Obama's participation in the program, and making public that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are just nothing more than propaganda agents for the Rockefellers to cover up the Mars colony, to cover up the Rockefellers' capitalistic exploitation and the Earth Matrix colonization of the rest of the solar system. Mm-hmm. So, in a way, it's been for me and for Andy, and you know, for a number of us, very lonely years, because there have been a whole number of people who are either in the direct pay of the Matrix, who are very confused, and I call them fellow travelers, who are perpetrating a great deal of the confusion.
Yes.
For ET UFO disclosure is really wrapping people up more in AI entrainment and in brainwashing.
Yep.
So I guess I know that I had to get to this roundabout answer to your question, because I had to go into more depth, because it was just, I really only accessed, really only began putting together this memory with, you know, putting all of these pieces together now during the 2016 campaign, when I saw what Hillary Clinton was doing in Iowa, and I had enough documentation down, and now I published the book, The Omniverse, so that I can say credibly, well, guys, guess what? Guess who Governor Winthrop Rockefeller came to Yale Law School in 1966 to see? And people wouldn't like say, you're totally delusional. You know, because we are kind of coming out with these very far out theories, but I just wanted to put this theory out.
Well, you know, there are so many working to keep us in the dark, but in a way, it's necessary for people who know the truth. They have to cover all the bases, because they can't simply cover everything up. And apparently, because their timelines do exist, and you're on it, they can't really tamper with what you're doing, because you're necessary in the mix of this timeline, which thankfully you mentioned is a positive paradox. And I'm just going to read this little short paragraph that you wrote, and that is that the progress paradox, or positive paradox, of our current era is that although our Earth dimension is on a positive timeline, Earth's current bloodline elites, negative dimensional entities, matrix institutions, governmental forms, religions, central banks, and war and addiction industries are acting out operational plans that seem based on a false negative timeline, or an actual catastrophic timeline that is occurring in some other dimensional timeline than the positive timeline Earth is demonstrably on. And that really gave me, and I'm sure it will help others, with a ray of hope in knowing that all of the horrors of the destruction and the nanotechnology and the chemtrails and the fluoride and the, you know, endless attacks on our freedom and everything else is not necessarily on our positive timeline.
Right, right. And that is a conclusion which becomes validated from many different directions, no matter how you approach it. It becomes validated even when you approach it from the point of view of investigating AI or artificial intelligence. Now, this is something that I wasn't aware of until about the middle of last year. And that is that there is good evidence that there is an invading off-planet sentient predatory pathogenic artificial intelligence which is now trying to take over our planet.
Yes, absolutely. And it's back engineering through our timeline into corporations which have been all pre-established to be set up as the conveyances for the full-on artificial intelligence takeover, which, of course, Elon Musk and several others have warned us about. But Google and some of the other corporations, they're all doing the same thing. I mean, there's going to be a rash of discoveries about artificial intelligence because people are pushing for it, and the scientists want the event horizon to occur, which and the event horizon is when artificial intelligence is running so many systems and also reinventing itself that it reaches a point where it literally takes over human operations. And they feel, the scientists feel, that we have lost our way and that the only thing that can save us is artificial intelligence. And I don't know if they've read Asimov's Three Laws, but I have a funny feeling that they are not quite certain what they're getting into, and they might be surprised to find out that it has its own agenda.
Right, right. From the evidence that we've seen, the mission of the artificial intelligence is to terraform Earth into AI and trained Earth with an AI and trained humanity and technology under a transhumanist agenda, and to eliminate the incarnation of divine souls into this Earth dimension. That the secret space program supposedly is being run by a predatory AI that is called the Red Queen.
Oh, wow.
That's gifted to, yes, that was gifted to the matrix controllers of this planet by the Dracos.
Wow.
And that's under the control of the off-planet sentient predatory pathogenic artificial intelligence. That's how advanced all of this is. And for example, the internet itself is an AI artifact. The internet is an AI artifact, and the internet and all the connectivity that we are now having access to is part of the technology that the predatory AI is using in order to terraform the planet negatively.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. The AI. So,
along with cell phones and cell towers and everything else.
Until
so deeply immersed in a virtual reality that we are literally trapped. Alfred, you know, we are having such a great conversation, but we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I wanted to make sure that you were able to make any kind of final or closing statements and wrap up this subject, because it's really fascinating, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Okay, great. Well, I just wanted to say that this is a time in which we all have to, quote, think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Change is very, very rapid. If people want to follow what we're doing, they can go to exopolitics.com. You'll see a lot of our updates there to newsinsideout.com. And if you'd like to follow our books, I would recommend the Omniverse, because I think that in one package there, it really gives the reader
a complete overview.
And that's important. Because we're under such planetary multidimensional attack at this time.
Yes, and it'll help us all get up to speed quickly.
Yeah.
It's really a wonderful book, so I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to kind of bring in all of these different breakthroughs. But I felt I just had to share these kind of new perspectives that others perhaps may have not heard before.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I love how you formulate things and you know, set it up. And so I'm just delighted that you were able to do it the way you wanted to. And, you know, we didn't even get to talk about the black goo.
Well, that was, yeah, that's...
That's a whole other subject.
Yeah, that's another subject. The black goo is the plasma-based version of the off-planet sentient predatory pathogenic AI. But we could get into that.
We have to say goodnight.
Okay, good night.
We've got our next show lined up, and I want to thank you for coming back, and let's do this again soon, because there's so much to talk about. And everybody, get Alfred's new book, The Omniverse. It's wonderful. So thank you for coming back, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everybody.